Current State on 90.5 WKAR. The 3 million member National Education Association has a new president, and she was in East Lansing yesterday. Current State's Scott Pohl spent some time with her, and he's here with the conversation. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Melissa. First of all, you know, we need to point out that you and I and lots of us here at WKAR are members of the Administrative Professionals Association at MSU, and our bargaining group is affiliated with the Michigan Education Association and, as a result, of course, the NEA.
So full disclosure,
that's
yes.
That's right. Lily Eskelson-Garcia took office on September 1st. Her trip to East Lansing was devoted to pushing for not only organized labor, but also for making higher education affordable. This sort of ties in with your first segment. Mm-hmm. Her career began not in the classroom, but in the school cafeteria. And when I referred to that start as humble, well, she kind of took umbrage with that.
There's not a humble bone in my body. I was a fabulous lunch lady. I have to tell you, you would eat your peas. And then I was a teacher's aide in a Head Start program. And I loved doing that. And I was almost 20 years old before the first person said, "Have you ever thought about going to college?" And all someone had to do was say, "You'd be a great teacher." And I went, "I am so going to go to college and be a great teacher." And I am. I was a great teacher. And now I'm president of the National Education Association. And one of the things I tell my members is not to be humble. I tell them they do the world's most important work, and they do. And we're not always recognized for that. But if I have anything to say about it, if you work in a public school, college, or university, preschool to graduate school, you do the most important work in the universe.
One of the things you're here to talk about today is student loan debt, and the NEA has a new program called Degrees, Not Debt. Tell me about it.
First of all, you have to bring awareness to people who aren't in that world. I do not have to bring awareness to one student or that student's family what crushing student debt is meaning to them. But the rest of the world kind of, is going, well, when I went to college 20 years ago, 30 years ago, yeah, I had a student loan. Yeah, you probably had a student loan of $5,000 or $6,000. You probably paid 3% interest and had 10 years to pay it off. That is not the world that our students live in now. The average is about $30,000. And that means that some, depending on what you're studying, some students have $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 or more. When they graduate, they have to start paying off that student loan. It's like paying off a home mortgage and you didn't have a house to live in.
So what is the NEA doing about it with this program?
First of all, we have to call out the main villain, if you will, in this scenario. If you take a look at every state legislator's legislative budget for higher education, you will see a diminishing amount of dollars that have gone to higher education year after year after year. No one can tell me that the costs of higher education have gone down year after year after year. What they've done is they've pretty much said, we don't intend to make this a priority in our state budget. Parents will pick it up, kids will pick it up. So where they want to have a savings or give some CEO millions of dollars in a tax cut, or let some company get away with not paying their taxes, where are we going to cut the budget? Higher education. Now, that means they would a university who doesn't want to raise tuition. They don't want to raise tuition, but they want to fund programs. So they get to decide, do I cut out entire departments, entire schools, like a school of education, for instance, or do I keep the program and make it a quality program, and who's going to pay for it? We're going to have to raise tuition on those students. It's adding and subtracting. And so we want people to be talking to the politicians, the legislators, the gubernatorial candidates, and saying, what is your commitment to higher education funding? Are you going to relieve these college students and their families, who are, by the way, the center of this economy? This is not our favorite charitable contribution. This is everything that this state intends to be when it grows up. Will be dependent on how many people have been able to get that that associate degree, that college degree, because it is a higher ed world out there.
We're talking with Lily Eskelson Garcia, the president of the National Education Association. What are some of the other challenges you're facing? Again, you just became president of the union a few weeks ago. What are some of the first things you're trying to accomplish?
One of the things that I've been doing, along with talking about the degrees not debt alarm that we're ringing, is I'm visiting an awful lot of our public elementary and secondary schools, preschools, Head Start programs. So often people, the only thing they know about schools is who's got this cut score, what's the ranking by cut score, and oh my goodness, look, all of our schools that have very depressed communities, high unemployment, high poverty, gee, they don't do very well on standardized tests. But nobody's talking about how to help those schools. And by the way, a standardized test is a problem these days. They have turned our education systems toxic. We have kids who don't want to go to school anymore because they believe that the only thing that they're being pressured to do is to raise their cut score. We've got some of the best teachers I've ever met saying, I think I should sell real estate because I feel complicit in hurting kids by pressuring them to get some cut score on a standardized test. These tests that mean so very, very little have come to mean everything, and they don't. And we're turning ourselves in knots to hit those cut scores. So I'm going out there and telling people, you know, put those scores over here. Give them as little attention as you can humanly give. There is no national law that says you have to do test prep and teach kids to be better test guessers. So don't do that. Don't waste their time. Teach the whole child. Do the right thing. Have the arts. Have the career education, the technology education that these kids want. Teach literature. Teach poetry. And teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. Teach everything. The tests will take care of themselves. You be a good teacher, and you tell these kids that you love them and you care about their futures. And that's what we need to get back to.
What are you able to do at the national level to help prop up membership in states like Michigan that have passed right-to-work laws?
You know, I think it's the irony of the universe that I am a union leader of the largest labor union in this country at 3 million strong, the National Education Association. I come from Utah. Not exactly your, you know, power broker union, no. We're a right to work for less state and have been really from the get-go. And we have a very strong union membership within the Utah Education Association, my local school district association, and we're proud affiliates of the National Education Association. We have actually now something to teach Wisconsin and Michigan and places that look and say, you know, because we've been good advocates for students, because we've demanded what we needed for our schools. Sometimes people who want tax cuts instead of doing what's right for kids, they want to silence us and cut us off at the knees as an organization. We're not going to let them do that. So we are actually talking to our brothers and sisters here in Michigan about how we are a valuable asset for our members, about how we advocate for our members. There are strong locals in Texas. They have not only do they not have the right to collectively bargain, it's against the law to collectively bargain. So they organize in different ways. They advocate in different ways. Their voice is still in the state legislature. They're still politically active. Those school boards still listen to them. They just have different tools. So we are now regrouping, and we are going to learn from each other. Nothing is going to silence our voice.
What are some of the future challenges facing not just the union, but teachers in general?
I think what we are going to be faced with now is we have been very successful in organizing amongst ourselves. We organize anybody that works in a public school, college, or university, preschool to graduate school. You can be a member of the NEA and our affiliates. But sometimes we think we can do it all by ourselves, and we haven't reached out to the communities that we serve. Now, when you're talking about degrees, not debt, you don't think that we should be organizing parents to be asking those politicians, what they're going to do about affordable college. Civil rights groups are worried about what it's costing those minority children, those children that live in discrimination and poverty and so often are our most challenged communities. Those civil rights groups want the opportunity to learn, and that means an affordable possibility for college. We need to be taking a look at every single blessed organization and individual that cares about children and the needs of students and saying, will you stand with us? Because it can't be done just by the people who work in those buildings. It has to be the entire community.
Lily Eskelson-Garcia is president of the National Education Association. Thank you.
Thank you. This has been an honor.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.